From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. A reminder to stay out of the air today if you can. I landed at the airport last night. It was like coming into a Sacramento fog, actually. We don't have any formal warnings about the air in the Sacramento area. There is a warning in the San Joaquin Valley, which actually has to do with traffic related to everybody going back to school. But I think everybody knows from a common sense perspective that the bad air conditions will continue today. Our coverage of the fires burning in the state will continue today as well, so stay with us. Now, Sacramento has a big box ordinance before the city council tonight. The question is whether to keep the mandatory economic impact analysis, or EIA, for stores larger than 90,000 square feet. The city's planning director, David Kwong, is in our studio. David, welcome back to Insight.
Thank you, Beth.
Also with us by phone is Eric Sunderland. Eric and the people he's working with are concerned about the connection between Walmart and the mayor in particular and the influence on this vote. Hello, Eric. Welcome to Insight.
Hello, Beth. Thank you.
David, I'm going to start with you. Is the umbrella question here whether these big box stores have to comply with the required wage and benefit analysis?
Thanks, Beth. The main question here really is whether we should have a superstore ordinance itself. The superstore ordinance, as you mentioned, is a store that's 90,000 square feet and has, and it's important to say the and part, has 10% of non-taxables, which is basically groceries. And from our standpoint, what we're recommending to the city council is it does not need a superstore ordinance. It's not the right type of regulatory framework we want to have for the city, and it's not consistent in terms of all of our neighborhood jurisdictions as well. So there are a number of reasons we provided in our analysis in the staff report as to why we think the ordinance should be repealed.
What prompted this in the first place? Why did the commission begin to review it?
Well, partly because, as you might remember, we've been scrubbing down all of our codes for the last couple of years and looking at how is City of Sacramento doing business here and how do we still do business and still afford a level of protection. What we've done is look at our codes again compared to everybody around us. And actually, in fact, we've looked at a number of different cities throughout the state and try to see what our code looks like in comparison to other codes. And for the most part, if not in most cases, we will still always have a conditional use permit requirement process. We will still have that level of discretionary review, and we will always still have that level of protection where we review these type of stores that come in. It's not that we don't have these type of stores like Targets and Walmarts and other types of retailing stores. We have them in the city. They just don't have the 90,000 square foot and the 10% of non-taxables. That's what they have as a standalone. Other jurisdictions around us don't have that particular provision or allowance, if you will. And so why should we be any different and organically grow, if you will, just like everybody else around us as well in this metropolitan area of 2+ million people?
The concern is the balance of protecting those small, as I called them, the mom-and-pop shops, as well as the big box stores. Was the commission divided on this, on whether this was the right approach?
The commission had a very long meeting on it. I wouldn't say they were divided. I don't remember the vote right offhand. I thought it was fairly unanimous. But at the same time, the issues were very much discussed in open forum. And, you know, for the merits of both pro and con against it. And from our standpoint, we provided the objective analysis to them. And we think that was the information that we needed to give to them. So they made a good decision.
Eric, I'd like to add your voice in here. You held a press conference yesterday at City Hall. And would you explain to us your opposition to the revision of the code?
Well, there are many oppositions. One opposition is the reason the code was originally put in was because the citizens of Sacramento have a lot of questions. The numbers that we're hearing are just gross numbers of tax revenue. We need to know what the losses are. What are we going to lose in the small businesses? What are we paying for benefits for these folks? And then the other issue is there's been a huge influx of Walmart money into our mayor and city council's favorite nonprofit. So there's a question as to the quality of this vote. We think it stinks.
Well, let me drill down a little bit on your first point. When you talk about the numbers and the tax revenue, explain more about your concern about what this will do to the small neighborhood stores. And I gather that's what your biggest worry is.
Yeah. And as a 40-year Sacramentan, we love the culture and the feel of Sacramento, and we feel that there's going to be damage done, and we don't know what that's going to be without an economic impact study. That's our main concern as far as how it affects the small businesses.
So you don't want to lose that aspect of the analysis. You also have a concern about campaign contributions that went to the mayor from Walmart, which I understand isn't illegal.
Right. We're not talking about campaign contributions. We're talking about behest. Behest is when an elected official goes to a corporation and requests that they donate to a charity of their choice. What has happened is the mayor has behested $775,000 to some of his favorite charities. His wife has been behested over $7 million to her Students First organization. So that raises the question, is there favor? Is the opinion of the council different than it would be if there wasn't all this money flowing in? That's the issue, I think.
And Eric, do you believe there was direct influence from this money coming in to the Planning Commission's desire to revise the big box ordinance?
I would say that it must have. I think there must be some influence there somewhere. That's an awful lot of money. It's more than the whole state legislature has behested, the whole state of California. So it really sticks out. It doesn't smell good.
David, let me come back to you. I realize you're not the city attorney, so there's only a certain degree to which you can weigh in on some of this. But let's start with the numbers, as Eric was talking about, and the economic impact in the city and the tax revenue figures that are at stake here.
One of the concerns that we have, as we stated in our staff report, is that there's the potential for sales tax leakage. And it's fairly intuitive if you look at the map and where all these big boxes or superstores, I should say, are located within a commute distance of the city of Sacramento. When you're going home and you want to stop at a grocery store or you want to stop at one of these stores and pick up something before you go home. So your natural tendency is just to stop in and pick up some stuff and then go home. And it's on your way. If you look at where these stores are located, they are just along our borders. So, you know, we have the same concern. We want to continue the growth in Midtown, these small neighborhood stores. We want to continue to see that. We do not believe these stores have necessarily a detrimental impact on it, and we still have that level of protection through that conditional use permit to review projects as they come in. But if you're going home to West Sac, or you live in Sacramento and you're close by and you're in Midtown and you're 3 miles away from a super center in West Sacramento, I think it's pretty safe to assume that you can stop by there and grab some things as well if you don't have it in the city of Sacramento. It's not like these stores are 10 miles or 15 miles away where they're out of the way. They're right next to us on our borders already. So they're already there impacting us. What we're trying to say is why not allow for the opportunity for these stores to come in, and we'll review them during the natural course of the land use process as they come in and not have an ordinance that prevents that opportunity to occur.
One of the neighborhood areas that I think this was very evident to us because we're close in proximity was 65th Street, which is a street of a lot of little shops and small little centers, and then a Target went in just on the other side, south side of Highway 50. Has there been specific study of neighborhoods to know the specific impact in the surrounding area? Because that's an ideal example of a blend of the big store and the small ones.
Yeah, I think that's a good example where there probably was both a need and a desire to have a larger format store with that kind of service provided to the citizens around there. And my understanding is very well used. That's not even an example of a superstore because it doesn't have more than 10% of the non-taxables. But to the extent that they can change to something that can accommodate that kind of service, having more than 10%, that's up for council review as well. I mean, obviously, that's one of the options that they can look at. But to the extent that it's providing the service out there and blends with the neighborhood, and in my understanding that the neighborhood supports it, then why not have the ability to have those type of stores?
That's funny, because you did take the question in the direction of the support of the big store, and I was asking it also in terms of the impact on the small shops and whether it has forced any closures in the area.
I don't specifically know of any.
Okay. The other question about this relationship between the money and the mayor. I know it's not a city attorney's question, but how much has that discussion come up, if at all?
It has come up, but from our standpoint, I want to lay out the process there. We've gone through. This is purely a review of land use codes, of our zoning issues. We've been drilling down on all of our zoning issues for the last couple of years and looking at what's consistent and fair, as I mentioned, not just in the city, but around us in our neighboring jurisdictions, and if you will, our competing jurisdictions as well. So we are just looking at a purely land use perspective and providing that kind of information and that kind of analysis back to the Planning Commission and back to the City Council.
The vote is supposed to happen tonight. Do you have a gauge of the votes?
At this point, I don't, Beth.
Okay. Well, Eric, I'm going to come back to you. Do you have any other action planned based on tonight's vote if it does, in fact, go the way of the revision of the code? I know it's a passionate issue for you and the people working on this.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to, I mean, depending on how the vote goes, obviously we're going to, we would like to see an ethics commission as part of the city government. So we would like, we'd like to see that. So we're going to be working on that. As far as the wages, we would like to see a living wage in Sacramento. I mean, the wage benefit analysis, we see that as a big issue of the current ordinance. It's been, the studies all show that Walmart drives wages down around themselves. So actual cost of benefits for Walmart workers for the city of Sacramento, the taxpayer subsidy is $1,067,122. So that's obviously a piece of this whole of the puzzle as well.
All right. Well, I think tonight's vote is just going to be the next step in the conversation, it sounds like. Eric, thank you for joining us today.
Yes.
And David,
thanks for having me.
Thank you, too, for being on Insight.
Thanks, Beth.
David Kwong is the city's planning director. Eric Sunderland opposes the big box store ordinance revision that is going before the Sacramento City Council tonight. We will have a follow-up story tomorrow on Morning Edition. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.